Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Where are we left?
We are Simon, Raish, Ayin, Aleph, Sif, Dalet. We were in the middle of the Sif because there was a big shift in the topic that required me to
here
give
we go
some
again,
background.
Yoni.
All right. Raish, Ayin, Aleph, Sif, Dalet. We're going to start from the beginning.
Here we go.
We're going to start from the beginning.
Okay.
And then get a running start, and then we'll I'll explain the concept that is very important here for us to understand. Dalet, Asur litom klum kodem shiyakadesh, you're not allowed to taste anything before you make kiddush. We're talking here about Friday night. We'll talk about Shabbos morning kiddush too, and not today, but in the when we get there, and it's also a problem too in the morning. But let's focus on the night. Afilu mayim, even water. Once it's evening, once the sun has set, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything until you make Kiddush first. And even if you started Shabbos early, you declare that it's Shabbos, Tarech Lahapsik, you have to stop eating and drinking until you make Kiddush. You have to stop. Shaporeis Mapa Umakadesh. And what do you have to do? So here's the situation. Even if you started a meal, I'm going to use the winter time now like we are right now. Let's say you started a meal at 1 o'clock, maybe 12 o'clock. It's not even Zman Mincha yet, okay? I start at 12 o'clock davening, sorry, eating a meal. Let's pretend, like it will be this year, that it's Purim, okay? And let's pretend Purim is, you know, this during this time of the year where the clock is pretty early, which happens occasionally when sometimes it falls out in February before the clock changes, and it can fall out on a Friday. I think this year it's after the clock change, if I'm not mistaken, so it's not so relevant. But let's say I started then, and I have a mitzvah of Purim Suda. So I start at 12 o'clock. I gather my family and friends together. We have a few courses. There are drinks. There's the kids. They're having fun playing their costume game and showing it off to everybody. And lo and behold, it suddenly is 4:30 p.m., and we haven't finished the meal. We got through a good part of the meal, but we didn't finish. We didn't bench. And I wanted to serve dessert. Or I wanted to serve still there was something else. I don't know. Maybe I started at 1 o'clock. I don't know. So I started the meal beheter. It was permissible. And you don't even have to go so crazy like I just went. Let's say on any given Friday, we paskin me ikar hadin. There's a machlokas in Arvei Pesachim about this. Can I start a meal late in the day? It's the first mission at Arvei Pesachim. Can I start a meal late in the day? Samuch, you know, after the time of Samuch L'mincha. So on Erev Pesach, the answer is no. I'm not allowed to be koveya seuda. I can have a drink of water, a little bit of potato chips, whatever I want. But I can't be koveya seuda in the hours leading in before Pesach. Why? Because I need to be hungry to eat the matzah, which is the mitzvah d'oraisa. But when it comes to Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says, I still think that that's the case. You have to be hungry for Shabbos Seuda. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can eat up until dark, you know, and the halacha we're going to see when we go a little bit further in Shulchan Aruch is what? That you have to, that we follow Rabbi Yossi. That you don't have to stop. And by the letter of the law, you can eat. So if you're an hour before Shabbos, you can have a sandwich. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is going to say that you should refrain from engaging in a meal. But by the letter of the law of the Gemara, it's mutter because we pass in the Krabios. Now, what happens if I am eating and now Shabbos starts? Whether I started 4 hours ago or I started 30 minutes ago. So the halacha is tarich lahafsik, when the moment the sun goes behind the horizon, I must stop my meal. And what do I do if I'm in the middle of the meal? I'm allowed to actually continue the meal into Shabbos. But Simeon's not going to like this. I'm going to wave my magic wand. I'm going to take a challah cover. And any bread that's on the table, I'm going to cover it. And I should probably bring out two whole loaves that have not been used yet. Two challah rolls. And I'll cover those and I'll put them on the table. The chicken can stay out. The potatoes can stay out. Everything can stay out. And what do I do? Shaporis Mapo Makadesh. I cover the table, all the bread at the table, and I make kiddush right then and there. I'm not starting a new meal. I'm actually transforming this meal into a Shabbos meal, and I will then, after I make Kiddush, be mamshich the meal that I've already started. I don't need to say Birkat HaMazon until later. This is a very, that's why I didn't want to do this at the end of last week. It's a big concept, of, which is nicknamed and called, not nicknamed, it's called Poris Ma'apo Makadesh. It's not something that we typically do. I'm being honest. And you'll see why the Mishnah Berurah is going to make a comment that, you know, supports like, it's not the best situation to be eating before. But anyways, this is the situation here. That the person...
So wait a minute. You said you bring out two challahs. Are you making hamotzi again?
Yes.
So you're not washing again. You've already washed for this meal. And you've already said hamotzi for this meal.
So yes, the presumption of this case was not that you were just simply having fettuccine Alfredo. You were just having like noodles, basically, where you make mazonos, and now I'm upgrading the meal to a hamotzi meal. Yes, the assumption actually is here that I was eating a bread meal before going into this. Now we're going to talk about hamotzi because and the washing part here. We're going to get to it in a moment. So hang tight. Like the Shulchan is going to address most of what you said. The washing, he won't address it directly, but knowing the psak, we'll be able to.
But this is probably more common than a wedding.
Correct. Correct. Those of you on Zoom, so Steve pointed out correctly that the minhag, we mentioned this last week, a minhag of making a wedding on Friday was very common among Ashkenazi Jews in order to save the money. And they didn't have 400 people wedding. It was probably your mishpacha, you know, and the other mishpacha and the chasan and kala, because he probably couldn't afford a lavish whatever. So you made your Shabbos meal into the Sudas Nisuin. It was the wedding meal. So that wedding obviously was done before Shabbos started. You probably started the Seuda before it became Shabbos, and then it was Poris Ma'apo Mekadesh. You know, you made Kiddush when Shabbos started, and you continued the Sudas Nisuin. There's a whole thing. So whatever. Well, when we get there, I think it's in Hilchos Shabbos, it's much later, about the prohibition of weddings on Shabbos. But the wedding, you know, dancing, you know, whatever, or the eating, whatever. So that became allowed. You know, it's not so ideal. Anyways, so let's keep going here. He's gonna
Rav.
Yeah. And then after. Go ahead, Simeon.
Hinda's question, which started to occur to me as well, I think is very valid. What I don't, you know, about not having said Birkat HaMazon.
Yeah.
So saying here is the concept that we're going to get to of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Seuda, that the Seuda itself, including the appropriate washing for that Seuda, need not take place on Shabbos.
Yeah. We're going to see in a moment that there is a world in which you wouldn't wash on Shabbos, but yet eat challah on Shabbos as part of that meal. You do need to have challah. We're going to see you're going to have bread once it becomes dark, because you're going to have to make Kiddush, ideally with wine, but if there's no wine, you could make it on the bread. But you will have to consume some bread on Shabbos once it's dark as a part
of... But remember Hinda's question. You're not washing a second time. The Seuda is not relevant to Shabbos specifically.
Well, but here's the thing. Washing is not a halacha vis-a-vis Shabbos. Washing is a halacha vis-a-vis the bread. So meaning, because there is bread on Shabbos, I must always wash. But here will be the one exception case where I was already eating bread before Shabbos started. I continue to eat bread into Shabbos. And so we will see that in one iteration, which will be that when I make Kiddush on the bread, I will not need to wash. And I will not even need to make the bracha of hamotzi, perhaps. That's because washing is not a function of the Shabbos is a function of the bread.
But
Yes.
isn't it the element of kviat seuda? Isn't that the trigger mechanism of rooting, of establishing the seuda?
The bread is not the washing. The bread, not the washing. And that's here we're going to actually, for one finish, in one rare scenario, we're going to split the two. And I'll explain how we're going to do it in just a moment, because it's going to, in the continuation here, it'll come become clear. Yes, Tommy.
Seuda for Friday night for Shabbos.
Yes.
Don't you have to do Marit before you do anything?
So, you don't have to, especially, well, certainly if it's Miba Ojom, if it's earlier, then no. And even if it's not Miba Ojom, once you're in the middle of a meal, it's like any Marav, because it's not a halacha of Shabbos Marav, there's a halacha of Marav, that once I'm engaged in a meal leading into Shabbos, or leading into the evening, as long as I started the het there, right, and there was no Isser here involved, then I can continue to eat. If I start eating at night, in a regular night, after the time for Maariv, then I have to stop. There's a knas, right? Now you have to stop and daven right away. But here I started when it was man heter, and I was mamshich the meal into Shabbat. So the Maariv, yes, Maariv has now triggered for me, but I don't have the halachas, I don't have to stop, because I started when it was the time when it was permissible.
It's the same meal, not a separate Shabbos meal?
Yes, it's the same meal, but there will be this sort of, I don't want to say magical, but there'll be this transformation where the meal is turned into a Shabbos meal. And
it is.
100%. But somebody could claim, anything I did before Shabbos shouldn't count for Shabbos. And that's a very fair point. But you're not done with the meal. If you were done with the meal, we have a problem here. But the idea is that you're in the middle of the feast. I might even have on my plates, I might have a steak and a chicken and, vegetables, whatever it is. And I'm in the middle of eating the steak. I'm halfway through the steak. The sun goes down. Okay, now I have to stop and make kiddush. And we're going to have to make hamotzi. And then we continue right on with the same meal. But I don't have to bench. The machlokas and the Gemara between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda on this question. Rabbi Yossi said, you don't even have to do kiddush, by the way. He said, you can make kiddush at the end. That, we don't paskin like that. He said, you can keep eating into Shabbos, and at the end of the meal, you'll make kiddush. You don't have to interrupt yourself. Rabbi Yehuda says, chas v'shalom. Mafsikin means you make up your birkat hamazon. It's now Shabbos, kiddush, hamotzi, and a new meal with birkat hamazon again at the end of that one. And Shmuel takes the approach, he paskins like Rabbi Yossi, but is a little machmir, says the Rashbam, is a little machmir, that, you know what, don't wait for kiddush later, make kiddush right away, but you can continue the same meal essentially, and it can be transformed into a Shabbos meal. We'll talk about the details of the transformation in a moment, but yes, Bruce.
You can include the Shabbos part of benching, even though you pass.
Even though Shabbos is well over when you say, when you bench on Shabbos.
The other thing is, but if you looked at sort of like, you do if you take out the new wine somewhere, you have to make a bracha over the new wine.
Oh, very good.
Bring out the challah for the second occasion. Now it's a new.
Very good. Interesting. The part about the bringing out the that's why on Rosh Hashanah we have to make haetz on the apple, because the only reason you're eating the apple right then and there is because of some custom. It's not coming because of the seuda. It's coming for some other reason. So we make a vore priya eitz on the apple, right? So then you have interruptions, sort of food interruptions into your meal that does trigger certain bracha. But let's see here. Let me read this, and then everyone can come at me again. Let's first read this and see where we fall out. So, take a look at Yud Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah. Tzarech lahafzik, that you have to break, you have to pause. This time of pausing that you need to stop, of course, is when you hit Shkia. So he says, Afagav the Hischil Beheter, even though I started when it was permissible to start a meal. Right? Shani Hacha. So, but why do I have to stop? Usually on any other night, if I'm eating before Shkia, I start, let's say, an hour before Shkia. Not the time for Marv or for Shema for that matter, and I eat into the night, I'm allowed to continue eating. So why do I have to stop here? Shani Hachad HaKiddush Shayach LeSuda. You have to stop here because the Kiddush is relevant to the meal, meaning there I need to attach the kid. I'm having a meal, but I need to do a Kiddush, and now I need to attach the Kiddush to a meal. So I have to stop because I need to make the attachment right here, right now, as Shabbos is coming in. I'm not starting a new meal. I'm just attaching a Kiddush to a meal. And here, this is, by the way, here's the lechatchila line. Lechatchila, itkun shiyakadesh kodem suda ubimkom suda. And it's of course the ideal to establish the Kiddush before the suda in the place of the suda. Okay, this is why probably no one does this ideally, because it's better to the meal should start. Now, you can read this two ways. You can say this is ideally you should always make Kiddush before you start your meal. Okay, that's just a better way to do things. But if this is going to be my seuda starting from now until I mensch, then better that it should be at this point, right? Better to start this part of the seuda with Kiddush than. But I think here he's talking about just in general, it's better, you know, to start the meal with Kiddush in the place of your seuda. And before you do the seuda. Okay. Yeah, Richie.
The best situation is like a b'dieved situation. You're already eating, and now how do you bring in the Shabbos properly?
Correct. And you probably don't have more food to make another seuda later, or you don't have all the appetite. But yeah.
B'dieved situation.
Yeah.
In the chatzila situation, you don't start a seuda in the middle of the day.
Right, correct. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that you know you should refrain. That's those are his words. Limnoa mila hikboa mila hikboa mila something like that from establishing a meal. You know after mincha ketana. Yeah.
Well,
the best situation is you're making kiddush. The kallahs are right there. They're covered.
Yes.
The candles are lit, lighting the table where you're eating.
Correct.
And because there's some sort of a spiritual connection between the wine, the challah, and the candles.
Right.
So that's the best situation.
100%.
So these are situations that pop up because of some sort of necessity.
Right.
Like
the wedding situation. Some people do this for Purim Suda. Right. Right. Maybe. Correct. I'm not sure that it has to be done this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably a better situation this year if you have like a brunch suit of the farm and then have a separate suit.
Because it'll be already later. It'll be after the clock change. You can have your Friday night meal around 7 o'clock. It's lunch, suda, and dinner suda this year.
Room suda and a chapa suda.
That's right. And one shouldn't take away from the other this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in days when, you know, when food was so precious, you know, that they could not afford. So
correct. Then they would do something like this, lechatchila, because they didn't have the amount of money to purchase food for two seudos. Yeah.
What I'm trying to make is that there's a very deep symbolic and hashkafic attributes to each of these components of the Shabbos seuda.
Right.
The challah, the mapa,
right.
The benching,
right.
The motzi, like they're all in the best situation, and the candle,
right.
You know, there's a certain setup for Shabbos.
Yep. You're 100%.
That's the it brings everything together.
Yeah,
you know, brings everything together. It's like it was a situation where which we'll see the Rashi on in a couple of weeks
Sarah's tent.
Sarah's tent.
The challah, the candles, color. Right.
Spirited.
The Ananei Kavod, right. That happened, that her challahs lasted, there was a measure that Sarah made, her challah lasted from Friday night to, sorry, from Friday to Friday.
There
yeah.
Was candles like at the base of Mikra.
Correct, it was in there. Tom made.
It was fine like at the base of Mikra.
Right, and there was a little.
Like a recreation of the right. Base of Mikra in Sarah's house.
Right.
And that continued miraculously.
Right. Right.
And so all these things have deep, deep, deep.
Symbolism and meaning. Yeah.
Meaning, and if you can't get them all together, right. The situation.
No, 100%. So yeah, I don't know if you could hear on Zoom, but that Richie was just making the point about how all the symbols of the beginning of Shabbos, from candles to wine to challah to the You know, just is everything really is that's the lechatchila. And he's absolutely right. Lechatchila is sort of the way we normally do it. Like, that's the reason why we do it normally, how we do it. Yeah. So,
including the hadlaka of the neros.
Yeah, the lighting the candles be shining upon the table, you know, when you're eating your meal, when you're making the kid out. Now, obviously, in this case, the poorest papa Mekadesh, somebody's going to light the candles a moment before the, at least a few moments before Shkia. But nonetheless, it's still, look, it's, as you see here in the Mishnah Berurah, lechatchila, it's better that you make Kiddush before the Seuda in the place of your Seuda. No questions.
And in Purim, it's going to come up the same issue about the then say the addition for Purim and vengeance. Purim Seuda, and it's now.
So that's an excellent question, and I have an unequivocal answer to that one, which is that you don't say.
Obviously, don't.
You cannot say in that situation. I don't think you can say Al Hanisim once you make Kiddush. You can't split hairs there and say that it's Shabbos and it's a target of the suspect to say the saver say and Al Hanisim, it can't be done unless your narrative is wrong.
I thought the criteria was when the suga started, because if you're sitting at Suda Shlishis on Shabbos and it goes on.
You're
and
right,
Shabbos
but
actually over on time, you still say you still recognize Shabbos in Birkas HaMazon.
Yeah, generally, yes, but if you made Havdalah in the middle of Shalosh Shudos, then at the end of the meal, you cannot at that point, because you made a verbal recognition that Shabbos is over. So at that point, I don't believe you can say it, because now I'm allowed to extend Shabbos, not a problem. And usually we go by Hatkala Sasuda, but I believe, and I'll double check this, I'll do my homework on this one. I believe though, if you make a verbal declaration that now this, you know, the next day has started, then it's a problem. By the way, think about another example of this. If Rosh Chodesh starts on a Saturday night and you're having Shalosh Shudos and it kind of drags, like we do here in Shul, you know, basically, certainly past Shkia. Do I say Yalav Yavo in the benching? The answer is no, you don't. But that's because I never talked about Rosh Chodesh yet, and I go by Haschalas Hasuda. But if I've made a verbal declaration of Abdullah, or in the case of here we're talking about Kiddush, I've literally been Mekadesh the Yom. I can't ignore that. And if I'm Mekadesh the Yom, I've now turned the calendar to the next day. So let's keep going here. Let's keep going. Tesvav Shaporis Mapa. What am I doing? I'm covering the bread until after I make Kiddush. And afterwards I'll remove it. So that it should be
visible.
It should be seen, it should be noticed. The Osa Haseuda Hashtali Kara the Shabta. I cover it so that now going forward when I remove the, it's magic, right? First the bread is on the table, I then cover it. I make Kiddush, and I say, ta-da! I pull the cover off. I say, now this bread is for Shabbos. Right? The Asa HaSeuda. Now this Seuda is coming, Likara, the Shabbos is coming, Likras Shabbos. It's coming for the purposes of Shabbos. Now, you'll say, well, then why do I cover my challah on any Friday night? If the whole point of covering it is to sort of symbolically say, like, okay, now we're covering it, and now I remove it, and now it is the bread is here for Shabbos. It wasn't just sitting on the table for no reason. So he says, after below Yashav Adayin Lechol, even if I haven't sat to eat yet, like we do most Friday nights, we haven't sat to eat yet, right? Gam Kein Dina Hache, so is the law as well, the Tzarch Prisas Mapa Be'ez HaKiddush. I need to cover the challah at the time when I make Kiddush. Uched L'Kaman B'Siftes, as we'll talk about in Siftes, I don't want to give it away. We're getting close to talking about why you have to cover the challah. Okay? We don't want it to be embarrassed. So we're not going to talk about it yet.
No, that's not the reason.
So Siftes is when we'll get to that. Ela de kamash malon bazem, de af shehu be'emtza achilaso, dai be'prisas mapa. So we learn from this that even if it's in the middle of the eating, right in the middle of the meal, all you need to do is just cover it with a cloth, and then you'll make kiddush and you'll remove it afterwards. I don't want to get into it now. I'll save it for Siftes. There is the embarrassment reason. That's the list. I think it's from the Yerushalmi. There is also another less what's the word where you make something into things that don't have feelings, whatever, or that literary word. You give a human characteristics to things that are not, there's a word in literature.
Anthropomorphizing. You're anthropomorphizing.
The bread. Without even doing that, there is also a good reason to be covering the challah, but if you're going to do that, you're probably going to cover the challah from both sides. Okay? Yes, Richard.
If you make kiddush on the wine, you want to cover the challah, so it's clear that you make kiddush on the wine and not on the challah.
You already did that. I'm sorry, I didn't go before Shabbos. Here, I don't think they're talking about another kiddush.
They're going to make two. They're going to now. Let's keep reading because the Shulchan Aruch is going to take two tracks here. What if I have wine available to me? What if I don't have wine available to me? As this Horiz Mapa Makadesh situation plays out, let's keep reading here. This is it'll answer this question directly. Yeah. We cover the look. The halachic reason for this, without the embarrassment thing, there's the symbolic reason about the man. Okay, so we cover it from both sides, just like the dew was covering the man. Or you say that generally speaking, when you have in front of you, there's a whole sifa in Shulchan Aruch about this, and it's in the Gemara. When you have different foods in front of you, there is an order to the brachos, how you make them. At the top of the list is always not wine, is always bread. So in order to not violate that rule, what do? I cover the bread and say, it's not here right now, halachically. And that's where this anthropomorphizing of the bread comes from. The embarrassment is that the bread always goes first. And so it's not halachically right to pass over the bread. Okay, so we cover the bread and say that it's not here right now, but we also want it on the table. Because when, and we'll see this in a moment, it's a beautiful idea that when you start your meal, we have to remember the miracle of the man. That the Shabbos meal starts, the miracle of the man has to be present there as it starts. Yeah.
The mitzvah comes before you.
Yes.
Do it, right?
Correct.
So if the bread is uncovered, it's like once in a shul, and I was putting away my talis and stone. He said, make sure to put your talis on top, so that when you take your talis out the next time, you're not passing by your tefillin.
Right.
You ever do that one?
Look.
You're not supposed to
pass over a miss. 100%. 100%. Yeah, by the way, if you ever reach into your tefillin bag and you pull out the wrong one, now, I always put my yad on one side. I'm sure everyone does the same thing. You put your yad on one side and your rosh on the other side. Sometimes it happens, in school or whatever, a kid will borrow my tefillin. They forgot their tefillin, so I said, here, take my tefillin. You'll put on my tefillin, and then you do the mitzvah. So they put it back, and they put it on the other side. And the next time I come and I take it out, I grab my shel rosh first. I can't stick my shel rosh back in the bag. It's the awkward thing, but you should actually put your shel rosh on first. And that is what you should do. Because you shouldn't pass over a mitzvah. Yes, you should. This is why the whole question of the challah is going to be a ridiculous sugya. Not ridiculous. We parse out everything in halacha. On Friday night when you make a motzi, which challah do you cut? Top one or the bottom one? It's a machloket. At night, you're supposed to cut the bottom one. Baha, you're passing over the top challah. How could you pass over the top challah? So, right.
Bring that one slightly sticking out from the bottom.
Exactly. The one three slightly sticking out. Exactly. So, anyways, but my point here is that principle is definitely at play, and that's why the covering here of it is essential, so that we don't violate that principle. That way, it's not.
There are a lot of reasons to cover the
cover. Correct. There are a number of here. Exactly.
Go up on one tangent since you brought it up. If you put the shel rosh on first.
Yeah.
Make the first broker, which you can make for both. Do you say when you put it on the yad, not the same? Are we supposed to peel into the second one? Or you switch them around.
That's an excellent question. Would you switch the order of the brachos? actually think that if that's what happened, I mean, the Sfarim only say one bracha in the first place also, by the way. They say lahaniach tefillah and they call it a day. I actually think if you did that, you probably should just say, I don't know.
Speak in between you spoke.
Correct. You would say al mitzvah tefillah if you speak in between. Okay. Even Sfarim would say al mitzvah tefillah if you speak in between, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, no, I actually reviewed this one. You know why? Because unfortunately, as I teach bar mitzvah boys, 7th, 8th grade, they talk all the time, and I always go over to the kid when he talks in the middle of putting on his tefillin. I say, "You're not allowed to talk when you're doing your tefillin. Now, when you put on your shel rosh, you're gonna say both brachos. You actually say both brachos. Halachas, you put it, say both brachos. Lahaniach doesn't carry over. You're right. You probably should say lahaniach tefillin. Certainly, and I'm just wondering whether you should say al mitzvah tefillin when you do the second one. My sense is probably yes. I would need to double check that, though. That's an excellent question. I've never thought about that.
Rav, I also believe the Sfardim only make one bracha.
Correct. They only just say lahaniach tefillin, but if you talk in between, then you have to make it again. But if they talk, they have to make the bracha again. Because the idea is that the whole thing is a hamshech of that first bracha. Okay. Let's keep going here. And the Shulchan Aruch. Now we get to what am I using for Kiddush? Or what was that? What was that about? You have to be like an investigator here. Like you have to put on your FBI hat a little bit here. Okay? So V'im Hayush, we're back up on top, fourth line. V'im Hayush Shosin Yayin Tchila. Let's say I was drinking wine as a part of the meal before Shabbat started. Right? Maybe it was the Purim Suda example, right? I'm drinking wine. Or it's the wedding example. Eino Omer Ella Kiddush Bilvad below Birkas Hayayin. Get this. When you make Kiddush, Shkia comes, I cover whatever, I take out two little challah rolls, I cover them, whatever other bread, I cover them at the table, and I pick up a glass of wine, a new glass of wine, Kiddush wine. I pick it up, maybe I should probably say Vayachulu, okay? Vayachulu, I get to la'asos, no savri. I go straight to Baruch Atah Shavah Kenem Al-Cholam Asher Kedush Amin Tzavar Sabanu Mishavas Kachol B'Yomar Zenechilano Zikaro L'Masev Reshit. No Bo'er Pri Agofen. No. You don't make a Bo'er Pri Agofen. V'achar Kach, he says, Mivarech Birkas Hamotzi. But then afterwards, you'll uncover the two challah rolls you pulled out, and you'll say Hamotzi. Wow, what a situation here. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Tezayin below Birkas Hayayin. Why didn't I make a Bo'er Pri Agofen? He says here, the cave the Beirach Kvar Besocha Seuda Veschila Shtiyoso. Since I already made a bar, I made a bar of Piagafen when I was drinking wine before. Shuvain Tzarech Laat Lebarach Ata Bar of Piagafen Kodem HaKiddush. Why don't I take it again? If I say Mizonos 15 minutes ago and I was eating Mizonos food and now I eat a different Mizonos food, I don't make a new Mizonos unless I made a Bracha Acharona in between. Or unless I had a Hesnech Hadas where I'm done with my meal and then I start something else. Why would I think I have to make a new Bo'er Pri Agofen? It's like any other Bo'er Pri Agofen any time during the week. If I take a drink of wine, and 10 minutes later I take another drink of wine, I don't make a new Bo'er Pri Agofen. It's all continuation. And we're saying it's the same meal, by the way. And all the more so is the law that I don't have to make another bracha on wine in the middle of the meal, right? If I start in the middle of the meal, at any Friday night, regular Friday night, I make Bo'er Pri Agofen at the beginning of the meal, then I eat wine 25 minutes later, when I'm eating the main course, I don't make a Bo'er Pri Agofen again. Yes, Richie?
Set aside a couple of other points.
Yeah.
And people stop where we didn't expect them, unexpected guests. They won't make we got stuck in the snow and
yeah.
A bunch of people walk in the house, and now you have to go and you have to bring out more water.
Right, because they didn't make it.
But let's say everybody's sharing the meat wine, but you did not prepare for that. Nubile's wine that you never expected to
be. We covered this once a few years ago, about what happens when you have in mind the apples that are on the table.
Right.
And it is about the oranges that are in the kitchen. Right? Richie was asking about what happens if you had wine bottles that were, that were set aside for something else, and now you have to bring out and now suddenly you're drinking those wines. Well, you were drinking this wine, but I had no intention to drink that one. I believe that if as long as you had in mind to have the category, right? So if I have apples on the table here and there are oranges in the kitchen, I have no kavana for the oranges, and I make a borei priya eitz, I think even if stuff comes out later on in that meal, you don't need to make a new bracha, if I remember correctly. I have to go back. We actually covered this topic, but I believe that if you have in mind the category of what's in front of you, I think the only problem is if you make a bracha here and then you don't eat it, and then like you don't eat anything from here, and like, oh, actually, no, this apple looks yucky. I'm going to actually go grab something from there. Then you have to make a new ha'etz. I think. I have to double check. Anyone remember differently?
I read. I can say that maybe a smart question, but if you drink wine and then you bring another bottle, which is better.
No, then you make Hatova make it.
Right.
No one argues with that.
He said you make another bracha on the wine.
Oh, he says you make a bori priya gafen?
Yes.
Yes.
That's how I learned the halacha.
Maybe I don't recall well enough on this one. So I know they make a Hatova HaMeitiv if you bring out a fancier bottle of wine. But you also make a borei priya gafen on the new one. Is that what you also thought, Simeon?
I believe that's how I learned the bracha, that if you are bringing out wine, if your host gets up and says, I got a special bottle of $1 million wine, I want everybody should taste it, it is muhudar, you're chayav another bracha. Because you didn't have that in mind at the time when you were covered by or participated in the bracha over the Kiddush wine.
Right. So maybe. It's
inexpensive.
Uh-huh. Right.
Shepherd's type wine. And then you have the fine wine. What's the term Kiddush? I remember I was in the wine store. You always have company, not everybody likes good wine. Some people like that sweet wine.
Right.
And I asked, and the guy in the wine store, you want the kids?
That's a newer invention, right? They people want to be able to, but
why would you make a bring your bottle? Even if it's true, there's not for you to make a drink
when Shabbos starts or the earlier. People wanted to drink. People wanted to drink.
Wine.
People just wanted to drink.
Because the water wasn't healthy.
If I made hamotzi, meaning for my poris mapa makadish situation. I think wine is its own category. If you make hamotzi, I'm not sure it will help you with the wine. Exactly. Right. It's interesting though, but once you make a borei priya gafen, you don't need a shahakal. Forget that if I'm not in a hamotzi meal. If I'm drinking wine and I have a bottle of water, it's a Tuesday night, and I make a borei priya gafen, and then I have a sip of water, I don't need to make a shahakal at that point. But I believe when it comes to a meal, you do need to make a borei priya gafen on the wine, even if you've had a hamotzi.
Water wasn't drinkable unless you mixed it with wine to kill the bacteria in the water. That's very, very strong, concentrated stuff that they call the wine.
Right, and they diluted
and
it with water.
They
mixed it. They diluted it. Limzog means to dilute, yeah.
They diluted, and that was their drink. They didn't drink plain water because it was not, potable.
Right.
It was not trustworthy. The water was
right.
You always want to mix it with some alcohol that would kill the bad stuff in it.
I need to go back and look up that halacha about the wine. I want to look it up. If you need to make a Uber pick up, and I trust you guys. I'm going to look it up. I just didn't remember that part. Let's keep going here. Let's talk out this scenario a little bit more. Let's finish the Mishnah Berurah here. He said that the same halacha goes if you have wine in the middle of a meal. The ha'ein shum hesek hadas, the shtiyas hakosh shel kiddush, the shtiyas hayayin shebesoch ha'seudah. So here, Richie, Kiddush wine just means the wine upon which you made Kiddush, right? Right? Because there's no hesech hadas. There is no break in your mind. There was no distracted mind between the Kiddush wine that you drank and the wine in the middle of the meal. So, of course, you don't need to make a new bracha for Gafen. When there's the hesech hadas, that's what triggers a new need for any bracha rishon. But, let's go back to the case about the meal that started before Shabbos. I'm drinking wine before Shabbos. It's then Shabbos, and I'm drinking more wine. There is no hesech hadas here from the wine. I stopped drinking, and now I was doing my work out on the computer, and I wasn't drinking. There was no hesech hadas here. So when I make a dish in the poris mapo makadish situation, I don't make a borei priya gofen because there is no necessity for it. It's a bracha she'en etzricha if I do it. That is an unnecessary bracha, and we don't just use God's name for no good reason. And look at Yud Zayin now. In Yud Zayin, he says, Acharkach, you have to make a hamotzi. Oh, but I had bread before. Why am I making a new hamotzi? Shouldn't the same reasoning apply here? I was eating bread before. Now it's Shabbos, and I'm eating more bread. I shouldn't make a hamotzi. I might need to just eat the bread on Shabbos, but I shouldn't have to eat the bread with a new hamotzi. So he says here, Acharkach mevarech birchas hamotzi, haynu kishaba ligmor acharkach seudaso. Now, when I sort of go on and continue to finish my meal, I should make I make a bracha of hamotzi mechadosh anew. The Eino Yosef behamotzi sheberach betchilas asuda behamotzi at the beginning of the meal doesn't help me anymore. I'm not with my continued bread eating. I am not Yosef from that first bracha. Why? Lefisha kiddush shebein tayim, because the kiddush that happened in the interim in between. Which was needed to be said because it was prohibited to eat until I made Kiddush, meaning there was a halachic full stop on bread consumption. So I wish I had a board here. At Shkia, it became usher for me to eat the bread. I wish I had a board here. I would just do a visual. So try to visualize the board, you know, in your head. I would take a marker. This is what I would do, by the way, if I was teaching this sugya in, you know, for middle schoolers, right, in WDS, right? I would take a marker on the board, and I would draw a line. Okay, this is my ability to eat bread. Then I would draw in a different color a line. That's called shkia. And now, for some short amount of time, or for any infinite amount of time, even if it was small, there was a barrier to my consumption of the bread. And the thing that was, so I stop. I'm no longer drawing anything. Now, in order for me to continue eating bread, I have to make Kiddush. What item am I going to use for this? Wine. Let's keep reading, okay, with that picture in mind. Ze have hefsek, he says. This is a hefsek. It is a break. Now, maybe you'll say, oh, it's in hesach hadas. I had it in my brain, but if halacha puts a barrier between me and the food, that's considered a hefsek. I don't even need a hesach hadas in that situation to now trigger a new bracha. Lefichach tzarich levarech shenis birchas hamotzi. Therefore, I need a second hamotzi. Ubirchas hamazon rak pamachas besof ha'seuda. Now, birchas hamazon, I don't need that because that comes at the end of consuming all the food. I need a birchas hamazon. But for a bracha rishona, as long as there is a break, I am required to make a new bracha rishona. Now, before anyone says another question about anything, let's keep reading. Because I know someone should ask the very sharp question, which is, you just said 2 minutes ago, you just taught me 2 minutes ago, that when it comes to the wine, I didn't have to make a bar priya gofen. But yet, there was a hefsek. I wasn't allowed to do anything until I made that kiddush. I couldn't even drink water. Exactly. Look what he says here. Ma she'ein kein ki she'ein lo ya. Now, oh, sorry. Why? What's the difference with the wine? The wine was never, there was never a hefsek because the wine was what I needed to drink in order to make it part of the kiddush. So the irony is here that there was never even a hefsek when it came to the wine. The wine, if you were drawing that line, would go continuously. Yeah, I could draw a little wall, but I would draw a line coming right out of it. Because the one thing that I was able to drink the whole time was wine. Because that was what I was going to use for Kiddush. So with the wine, there was no hefsek. Everyone understand that? With the bread, there was a hefsek because I need to drink wine first. Right? But hold on. What? Hold on one second. Let me just finish this and then Richard, you're going to ask the question. Look back up now on top. And the Shulchan Aruch says, V'im emo yayin. But what if I don't have wine? So what do I always use as a backup? The bread. Mekadesh al hapas. And I make Kiddush on bread. What do I – consistent. Eino mevarech hamotzi. First opinion says, I don't make hamotzi. Why not? Now go back in the Mishnah where we were. We were in the middle of Yud Zayin. Because now he talks about that case. Ma she'en king, kishe'en lo yayin, mekadesh al hapas. It's not like when you don't have wine, you make Kiddush on the bread. Shizman birchas hamotzi shalohu kodem Kiddush. Because then the hamotzi is never had a hefsek. Because the thing I was going to make Kiddush on was the bread. It was always, there was never a hamotzi hefsek. Because I was always going to make Kiddush on the bread. And therefore, v'lo haya adayin hefsek shehi etzarech mechamas levarech mechaze levarech sheinif. There was no, I always needed it. There was no need for a second bracha. Because the hamotzi was always continuous. It was the thing that I was going to be relying upon, the bread, for the Kiddush. I'm not even making the hamotzi at the Kiddush itself, even. Lachain ain't tzarech levarech hamotzi lekuli ama. Therefore, you don't have to make hamotzi in that situation, according to everybody, when I'm making Kiddush over the bread. Even though I'm not going to say hamotzi, I just have the bread in front of me. And I sort of, you know, maybe I'm putting my hand on the bread while I say the bracha. V'zeu, I'm not even making the hamotzi. And I don't have to make another hamotzi because the bread was continuous. The hamotzi was continuous throughout. That's, so it depends. If I'm using wine, I need a hamotzi. If I'm not using wine, according to this first opinion, I don't need to make hamotzi a second time. But v'yesh omrim, back up on top, shaf shemekadesh aliyayin, there's the second opinion here, that says, even if I make Kiddush on wine, eino mevarech hamotzi, you don't need to make another hamotzi in the meal. Okay? Even though there was a hefsek. Let's finish the Mishnah Berurah here, and then everyone will ask all the questions. I feel like everyone has like a bajillion questions. Richie, I know you had a question. Yurchet? What was it? It went away? It got answered? Oh. Baruch Hashem. Okay, God, we answered in the Mishnah Berurah. Yurchet? Eino mevarech hamotzi. The second opinion, which says you don't make hamotzi. I'm sorry, yeah, you don't make hamotzi no matter what, even if you make Kiddush on wine. The sphere lahu, the Kiddush lo habi hefsek. Because this opinion says Kiddush is not considered a hefsek. It's not considered a hefsek. I was in the interim, I had my wine, but I never had intention to stop consuming the bread. I just needed, you know, I needed for halachic reasons to interject with a Kiddush on wine. But there was no, don't give me that. It's not a half steak. And he cites this back to the opinion, by the way, of the Maritz Geus, okay? That it's not considered a half steak. Now, the fascinating point here of this, though, let's finish the Mishnah, where he says, V'kevin the steak brachos lahakel, and since it's a machlokes about brachos, make a hamotzi, don't make a hamotzi. The rule is safek brachos lehokel. When I'm not sure if I should or should not make a bracha, there's a halachic argument that is valid. There are valid reasons on both sides. We are lenient, and therefore yesh litfos kehayosh omrim. Therefore, we attach ourselves to the opinion of the yesh omrim, and we do not make a new amotzi in this situation. So, in a poris mapa umekadesh world, you're just making Kiddush over wine, right? There, you will not even make a borei priagafen, assuming you had wine beforehand. And then you will not make a hamot. You will need to put challah on the table when you make the Kiddush, covering it. And then you'll uncover the challah and you'll continue to eat. Now, what is something that you do need to do, though? You do need to eat from the two loaves of bread, even though you're not going to make a hamotzi. It is the strangest scenario. You make Kiddush, first of all, with no borei priagafen. You consume the wine. You don't need to wash because the washing from before was already relevant for the bread earlier, and you know there's no half steak. In the court, right? Hold on one second. In the first opinion, where I needed to make hamotzi, which we don't, which is not how we pass it in the end, there I believe, Hinda, to your question from earlier, there I believe you do need to wash again. Because if we're going to say it was enough, according to the first opinion, enough of a half steak that I need to make a new hamotzi, it should be enough of a half steak that I need to make a new netilas hadayim. But when it comes to the how we paskin, which is the second opinion, I need to wash. I don't. So I make kiddush, no habor pegafim, no washing, no hamotzi. But I do need lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah is its own inyan, and that's why my extra little comments here on the side. You have it in number 30, Tommy. You have this edition, right? But after the ofen zeh, he says in this beir musafim. You don't have this in front of you, most of you. Shein bal habayis motzi as hamesuvim b'virchas hamotzi. The bal habayis does not motzi the mesuvim with b'virchas hamotzi. Ema hamesuvim yotzim yidei chovas lechem mishnah. How are the mesuvim going to fulfill the mitzvah of lechem mishnah? Everybody individually has to have lechem mishnah. And if I don't make hamotzi, how am I being motzi on lechem mishnah?
Including the bal habayis.
Right, the bal habayis also has to have lechem. Everyone needs to have lechem. You don't have to eat from both of the challahs, but you need to have a moment where you have both challahs there. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, "Kevach p'tur mishamisu me'abracha, it's potter from the bracha, it's starfen him lepas shal bal habayis." They can all even starve to the pas of the bal habayis, the bread of the bal habayis, al yedei habitzia. So what he would do is everyone would sit around and say, "Everyone, I'm going to break now from the lechem mishnah." And he'll pass around from the lechem mishnah, no bracha, but we're having a lechem mishnah moment, right? Where the betzia causes the hitztarfus, because otherwise, you know, how are you mitztarif to this moment? Otherwise, you should require lechem mishnah, and you should require lechem mishnah. So we are all mitztarif through the betzia, through the breaking of the bread. But if you do baris baba mekadesh, some of you will do it on Purim this year, going into Shabbos. I don't particularly plan on it, but if you're going to do it, make sure you have lechem mishnah and that you break the bread together. Because unless you're gonna have two challah rolls for everybody, everyone needs to have a lechem mishnah moment. Okay, what's our timing? Okay, I think we're gonna have to stop. But we finished Sif Dalet. Okay, next time it's going to get even fuzzier. Okay. Oh, this is crazy. We're gonna have more porous mapo. The next little bit, we're really in the world of porous mapo makadesh, which is fine, and in the world of, you know, meals that run into Shabbos. And we're going to see that there are people who weren't having necessarily a meal before Shabbos, but they were kicking back and they were drinking some wine. They were drinking. You know, before Shabbos started. Yeah, it was the case of Shnayim Tahayu Shosim. Yeah, by the way, Shnayim Shosim Al Talis, Shnayim Shosim. You have two drinkers. Shnayim Tahayu Shosim. Two drinkers. And they're drinking, and ooh, the sun sets. And, or not even the sun sets, it could be before Shabbos starts. And they say, Bo Nikadesh, Kiddush, Hayom. And they say to each other, "Let's make Kiddush. Let's just make this into Shabbos now." So can they continue drinking? What's their, do they, can they, do they have to, Kiddush Ruachim. Why were you drinking before Shabbos started? Right. And so it's going to be a problem to, of course, continue drinking because you have to make Kiddush before you continue drinking. What if you wanted to continue drinking, even though you're not allowed to drink until you make Kiddush? So do I have to make another Borei Pri Gafen? Because it's now, you know, it's a whole to do. We're gonna figure out next week. When I was preparing this, I read the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chaf Aleph. I want to say at least about 13 to 15 times. Because I just didn't get it at first. I just didn't get it. I kept reading it over and over and over. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. I think I got to a place where it made sense. So we'll have to make it's a very strange case where, again, you're drinking beforehand. and you want it, but you're going to save the kiddush for a little bit later. I guess your family's not ready. You were drinking the whole time, but you want to drink. You want to continue drinking. You're not allowed to. So it's like you're dealing in like bidyevet land, and so then you need to make a new bracha of bar piagafen if you're going to drink at the wrong time. But if you're going to make it with kiddush, that's the right time, and I think you don't have to make bar piagafen. But if you're going to drink at the wrong time with the wrong intentions, it's very strange. Anyway, so we'll deal with that.
Isn't that a bracha she'ena tzricha?
The whole thing is ena tzricha.
You know, Rav, I think it was Bruce that raised the question about the apple and honey on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Mandating a separate bracha.
Correct. Yes, you need a separate bracha whenever it's bar shalom machmas ha-se'uda.
Right.
Then you need to make a bracha.
Right.
That's correct. And if you remember many years ago, when you were sitting over here, Simeon, on my left, we had some big arguments about whether or not cake is ba machmas ha-se'uda or not, whether when you serve dessert is that machmas ha-se'uda or not. Remember, we had some good arguments about that. Whether or not you have to make a new mizonos for dessert, or is that not machmas ha-se'uda? The fruit, I think we came to an agreement upon that. That's not part of it.
Do you remember what you taught? You taught that you absolutely, according to the Mishnah Brura, you do need a separate bracha for dessert.
Correct.
And you do not need a separate bracha achrona.
Correct. And I still stand by it. Years later.
Makes no sense.
You want sense? Sense you want?
Very good. Well,
thank you so much. It was a delightful shiur. It always is.